Welcome back to Issues Etc. Here in the third hour of the program, we continue audio open lines. We've only got a couple of minutes into the PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly feature on men and church. We're coming to you live this Tuesday, the 28th of November, back after the Thanksgiving holiday weekend that turned into more or less a week. And we're right in the middle of this piece from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly. Still taking your phone calls and email on men and church, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issues@kfuo.org. Leave that one up there. I want to read this. Bob writes this. I was at a pastor's meeting today. Our host, the Reserve Army chaplain, showed off his camouflage cope. Now, for those of you who don't know what a cope is, it's a vestment the pastors wear that looks like kind of a hooded poncho. Not a poncho, a hooded cape. Yeah. Big, long thing covers you head to toe. Generally worn in the old days, just to keep them warm. Nowadays, it's for high church occasions. A camouflage cope. They come in a half a dozen different styles. Why not wear one at your next Men's Sunday? Or you could visit San Francisco's Her Church. Have you seen this online? I have too. Ebenezer Lutheran Church. It's a congregation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. They actually call themselves Her Church. That's their website address, or at least the tag. And listen to Pastor Stacy call Jesus the Great Cosmic Mother, in the words of institution. Think the camo would get them excited? Probably. Although they're all about diversity and tolerance, so they shouldn't have a problem with it. I'm thinking instead of, you know, sometimes the pastor will wear rather ornate pectoral cross. I'm thinking one made of shotgun shells. Wouldn't that be cool? Maybe a little Jesus carved out of deer bone or antler. Set upon a cross of spent shotgun shells. That would say it all. That would capture Hunter's Lodge Church. That's, I don't know, when I leave Issues Etc., which could be very soon at this rate, when I leave Issues Etc., I will start Hunter's Lodge Church. It'll be made of logs, a one of those big, gigantic fireplaces that you can walk into. Roaring fire, food constantly at the ready, big comfy chairs made out of logs. I don't know how you do that, but you do it. What else? All sorts of stuffed animals. I don't mean the fuzzy ones. I mean taxidermy. That would be the major feature. Instead of the statues like Jesus, Mary, various saints, big taxidermy. Polar bears. I'm going to talk about little stuff. Cougars. Maybe a raccoon here and there, but you could festoon the entire place with taxidermy. Maybe some stuffed ducks flying through the middle of the nave. I mean, I'm talking about going all out for those hunters out there who have found church, as it is, less and less relevant to their everyday lives. Let's hear more from this PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly feature titled Men in Church. Here's another solution. It's called Men's Fraternity.
Father, as we go through this day, remind us of who we are as your sons.
It is 6 a.m. on a Tuesday. Twice a week, large groups of men gather at Burke Community for what is called Men's Fraternity. These are nationwide programs that combine biblical teaching with small group interaction among men.
Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. If you don't have that memorized, memorize that on your way to work today.
The idea behind Men's Fraternity is to offer them adventure, the adventure of living life the way God intended them to.
If you don't have a guy that you can be your honest mirror, that you can sit before and you can tell them what is going on in your life to any degree, then you are at risk.
So this is a way to ground men in some biblical truth, but also in a relational context where they develop other brothers, where they live their life in a community, in relationship with other men who share their struggles and face their fears and hopefully address their issues that help them move simply from being male to being a man.
Now, I don't know what it is about sex. Well, I mean, I know what it is about sex, but...
When the laughter has died down, it's time for the message of the day, delivered in man-to-man fashion.
We often, as we go through our careers and we're kind of shuffled through the system, we tend to lose a little bit of sense of control over our lives. lose a sense of power, and opportunities may arise where you can then feel a new sense of control, a new sense of power. And often, we may look for that in the arms of another woman, not our wife. You have got to rely on your faith. Psalm 119:9 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word."
Afterwards, the men talk among themselves.
That transparency with your spouse, that if you're really honest there, then you've got it.
I tell the guys when we're in that setting that I would rather spend my time with them in that setting than preaching on Sunday morning. They're the most important thing I do every week, is helping those men move towards authentic manhood. It's given a flavor to our church that said men are engaged in not only growing in Christ, but then leading and serving their families.
All right, that's Pastor Elwood. He's the leader of this men's fraternity group. First of all, why is it always about sex? We've got to talk about something relevant to men. Yeah, let's talk about sex. Look, I can turn on Dr. Phil and get as much advice on sex as I want. I can go to any bookstore and find advice on sex. And what is this notion about... Again, I've said this before. For some reason, it's all about suburban angst. You go through... Let me read this to you. You go through your career and you're shuffled through the system. You tend to lose a sense of control over your own life. So the man's problem is that he doesn't feel like he's in control of his own life. That's suburban angst. That's not... Identify the problem for what it is. It's a sinful impulse to want to control your own life. But this is at least in this men's fraternity group, they seem to be dealing more with the suburban angst of the career man than with the iniquities of sinners.
But remember that guy we talked about a couple weeks ago that started ministry for hot Christian sex?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was hot, steamy.
Yeah.
Not just
that's
hot.
Right.
Actually, it has to produce steam.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's done. I've never tried that, but somehow it's got to produce steam at the same time. Hot, steamy Christian sex, and he said slip of the tongue. Christians shouldn't deny themselves hot, steamy sex, and there are biblical principles for practicing hot, steamy sex, and everyone should expect it. Everyone. And he at least he was presented as doing some sort of a ministry. Oh, you know what they could do? They could begin by respelling the word ministry. Why don't we spell ministry M-E-N rather than M-I-N? Then we'll be doing ministry. I know. As soon as I say it, I realize there's someone out there who's already thought of it. Just do it. Do it right now if you're sitting at your computer. Type in Google. Ministry spelled with an E, ministry, and I guarantee you will find a dozen churches who've already got it underway, ministry rather than ministry. And they probably have womenistry, too.
It's all about the marketing.
Yeah, sure it is. It's all about the marketing. If I can come up with this stuff, anybody can come up with this stuff. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issues, etc@kfuo.org. If anybody finds ministry on Google, give me a call. I want to hear about it, because I can guarantee you. I'll bet money. No, I won't bet money. Don't have enough of that. I'll bet something that if you Google ministry, M-E-N-istry, you'll find a church that's doing it already. And I just thought of it a few minutes ago. But as soon as I think of it by way of satire, I realize someone's already doing it by way of reality. Men-istry. Doesn't that have that has a ring to it? That just sticks with you. You'll be saying that on the way home. I guarantee you'll be going, ministry, men. That's what we need.
You know, if you only had Charlie's voice, you could have a men's mega church.
You're right.
It's holding you back.
It is. It's holding me back with the men and the women. It is. This high-pitched voice that I was born with. You're right. It's holding me back. Let's go back to the end of the PBS Religion and Ethics Newsweekly feature, Men in Church.
At the end of the session, a final warning about sexual temptation.
As much as we enjoy the discussion and the laughter, the reality is, too, you blow it in this area and you will experience more pain than you have ever seen before. And if you don't have a growing relationship with God and a growing relationship with your wife, all the other barriers will not protect you. All right, all for one.
One for all.
Let's go get him.
We talked about sexual purity. We talked about integrity and the things that every man struggles with. And when you can do that in a crowd with people you trust, you tend to realize that it's not just you that has the battle.
I can come to this, and it's just as much church, if not more so, than coming and sitting in a chair and hearing a message, because I'm actually getting fed with my brothers and their experiences.
It's a time of intimacy with men that you don't have in any other setting. When I see them at church on Sunday morning, it's even that much better. So because of the intimacy that we've shared on a Tuesday morning.
It is so vitally important that that men step up and as leaders, as husbands, as fathers, and involved in the church itself in leadership positions.
The real challenge here is not calling men back to the church. It's calling churches back to men. We need to create the types of experiences where men can come alive. We've got to figure it out in the Christian church, or the church is going to continue to decline in attendance here in America.
Murrow sees signs of hope. Some mainline churches are starting to reassess their practices and are asking, where have the men gone? For Religion and Ethics News Weekly, I'm Judy Valente.
But I come back to this thing. After you've dealt with the men who want to have the cathartic small group experience of men's fraternity, and after you've attracted the men who like the football huddle and the football metaphors, and after you've attracted the men who enjoy Off We Go Into the Wild Blue Yonder and the patriotic themes, you're still left with a lot of men like, say, me. I don't like small group hugs. I like sports when my teams are winning, so I'm the ultimate fair weather fan. The whole patriotic theme, 4th of July, I might, you know, pull out all the stops and wear the red, white, and blue, but that's about it. So what about me? I am the kind of men being left out in all of this. And don't they care for the lost? Don't they? A church for me. Now, they could do the Hunter's Lodge Church, but I have a very short attention span, and I don't hunt that much anymore. So while I think it's a dandy idea if you're trying to attract men to something, it probably wouldn't keep me there week after week. Let's see what the rest of you think. Chris is calling from his car. Hi, Chris.
Hello. I couldn't help but look up, actually, at my college apartment, but I couldn't help but look up ministry when you gave that challenge out.
Did you find anything under men-istry?
Oh, yes, I have found quite a bit. About 2,640 results, but the first one from a church in Las Vegas, Cornerstone Christian Fellowship, as it's called, regards ministry as a men's ministry meeting regularly once a month. And it participates in annual men's camp, Promise Keepers events, and various other things about getting to know each other and establish new friendships.
Chris, thank you very much. Thanks for doing the Google work there. My mouse doesn't work here, so I can't Google men istry. But as I suspected, I didn't expect over 2,000 hits on men istry. But I knew as soon as it came out of my mouth, I was thinking of it as a joke. But this happens to me probably once a week. I think of something that is so outlandish, certainly no one would be doing it, and lo and behold, there's some church out there doing it. You can no longer satirize the seeker-sensitive movement. It has become a satire of itself. It's Audio Open Lines for your thoughts on men in church. We've heard the PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly feature. I want to hear from you, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. You know, when a sitcom does this, when it becomes a parody of itself, you know what they call that? They say that the sitcom has jumped the shark. It's a reference to when Fonzie actually water skied over a ramp over a shark in the mid-70s. And it's become a term of art in television. When a show jumps the shark, it means it's become a parody of itself. It is now open to ridicule from anyone who wants to ridicule it. And I wonder if we're not reaching the point where the church growth movement hasn't jumped the shark. It's become a parody, a satire of itself without even knowing it. Still taking itself seriously, but it has entered the realm now of satire. Jay calls from his car. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Pastor Todd. Thanks for having me on. At the end of that last piece, you heard men chanting all for one and one for all. And the question is the one they're talking about Jesus, or is it each other?
That's a good question, one that is left unanswered, Jay. I don't know. But if you're catering the church toward men and what they feel like they need, I suspect the one is each one of you and the all is each one of you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. That was the one man that didn't get mentioned in this. I mean, he did get mentioned by way of footnote, where we want to bring men to Christ or connect people to Christ. We're coming to you live this Tuesday. It's the 28th of November. 1-800-730-2727, 505-7850. Phil calls from his car. Hi, Phil.
Hi. Since the last time you talked about this months ago, I've been talking to people in different denominations and also non-denominational churches, and they always defend whatever it takes to get men to come back to church. And, you know, this is how they defend their position. Whatever it takes, it doesn't matter. You know, we can do anything as long as it gets, you know, in the pew there. But my question to them was, are you just worried about them sitting in there, or are you worried about them having a true conversion? And you said it before about, you know, you got to keep doing the same thing to keep them there. But I've seen, a long time ago, I used to go to a non-denominational church, and I've seen men sitting there sleeping, clipping their toenails or fingernails or whatever they do there, but they're not paying attention at all to what's going on. They have no interest in Bible studies. And you don't see any type of interest in reading their Bible or anything.
Thank you very much, Phil. Or the interest in the Bible is purely to somehow improve themselves as men. They're not interested in the man who stands at the center of the Bible, only insofar as he, that is Jesus, by the way, Jesus can help them be more of what they already are or the best they can be, which is a gross misuse of Scripture. Jesus didn't come to help you be the best you can be. You know, we have the same problem in Lutheran circles, a profound lack of interest in the Bible, or where there is interest, it's purely for how will this help me be more of what I already am? Richer, better looking, better manager of money, whatever. You know, I've written about this in the Fad-Driven Church, an article that I wrote for the Issues Etc. journal that appears, I believe, at our website, issuesetc.org. The article is called The Fad-Driven Church. You can look it up under the search engine at our website, issuesetc.org. There's a section in there where I deal with the whole whatever it takes strategy, which I point out, I think rightly, whatever it takes isn't a strategy. It's an admission that you have no strategy. It is another way of saying the end justifies the means. And the problem is when you adopt an attitude of the end justifies the means, you've given up on the end. Because the means, all means don't lead in the same direction. The means determine the end. And if you're willing to adopt any means, it means you're willing to give up the one end that you ought to have, and that is bringing Christ to sinners. Not all means bring Christ to sinners. Not all means do that. Some of them lead in very different directions. If the end really did justify the means, why don't we attract them in with the fastest growing religion in the world? Why don't we attract them in promising them to teach them the dictates of Islam? If the end justifies the means, well, no. Teaching them Islam wouldn't lead them to Christ. Of course it wouldn't. Because when they say whatever it takes, they don't mean that. They mean whatever we want to do. That's what they really mean. Roger calls from St. Charles. Hi, Roger.
Hey, Todd. Maybe you could become a minister on the Red Green Show where they have the Opossum Lodge. Did you ever see that show?
No, but did someone actually think of it? Good. Opossum Lodge?
Oh, well, you got Sunday nights on channel. Of course, it's on when you're talking, too, so it's kind of your competition. But anyway, if you ever get to watch it, they usually end with a prayer that I'm a man, but I can change. I just kind of, when you were talking about your lodge, it just kind of rung a bell with me about Opossum Lodge Church.
Roger, thank you very much. Hey, I'll hold out for it. You know what I want to know is how will this men's church idea play with the women? The women may come back and say, oh, I love it. My man is more of a man than he ever was before. Or they might say, Pastor, I don't know if I approve of everything you're teaching my man. We'll see. Here's what struck me about the end of the PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly. You may have just glossed over this, but let me refresh your memory. The pastor who leads the men's fraternity group, another attempt to bring men to the church, He says two things near the end of that piece. He says, I tell the guys that when we're in that setting, I would rather spend time with them in that setting, that is men's fraternity, than preaching in church on Sunday. This is a pastor who has openly admitted he would rather spend time hanging out with the boys, even if it is under the auspices of studying scripture to help men be more manly, than preaching on Sunday. I think that's an honest admission. He would rather hang out with the boys than do what he's called to do, which is bringing Christ to sinners, the Savior to sinners, through the preaching of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ for sinners, on Sunday. And the other thing he said is closely related. He said, actually, this is one of his members of his fraternity, Josh Chapman, says, I can come to this and it's just as much church, if not more so, than coming and sitting in a chair and hearing a message, because I'm actually getting fed with my brothers and their experiences. Very honest statement here. What is he getting at men's fraternity? He's getting to interact with his brothers and share experiences. And he considers it more church than sitting and listening to a message. What is it that Paul says? Not through the worldly wisdom did God choose to reveal himself and salvation to men, but through the foolishness of our message, that which we preach, Christ and him crucified. Sure, there are going to be a lot of things that appeal to men and to women and to children and to old people and to every person in every walk of life than the foolishness of what Paul preached, Christ for sinners. There'll be a lot of things that appeal more, but none of them will save. A lot of them will attract people, but none of those other things can save at all. We got 10 more minutes on the other side of this break of audio open lines. We've got some more audio to share from you, but I'm anxious to hear from you as well. When we come back, we'll hear an NPR story on the rise of unwed mothers. That's to set the table for a conversation tomorrow with Jennifer Roback Morse on the same issue. At Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, they're not too much concerned with training pastors to be men's pastors or women's pastors or children's pastors, or to preach a message catered toward men or women or children. What they're concerned with is producing pastors who will preach a message for sinners of all ages, of all genders, of all walks of life, sinners who need Jesus, and preaching to them the only thing that the church can give sinners, and that is a crucified and risen Savior every Sunday, every sinner, every sermon. Not so much considered with fitting into the niche of the market, but with proclaiming Christ and him crucified. At Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, they are endeavoring to produce pastors of that ilk. Find out more about them by going to our webpage, issuesetc.org. You'll find their logo there at the homepage, issuesetc.org. You can also call them toll-free, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155. Well, I'm sure you've heard the news that 4 out of 10, out of every 10 babies born in America on any given day nowadays will be born out of wedlock. How do we account for the rise in out-of-wedlock births? We'll hear an NPR story and get your reaction during Audio Open Lines after this.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Would it surprise you to learn that the first several centuries of the Christian church were years plagued by controversy? There were arguments over the most basic of Christian teachings, the doctrine of the Trinity, the person of Christ, and the very nature of salvation in Jesus Christ. Does it surprise you that many Christians are completely unaware of this history? The old saying goes, those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for November is called The Great Jesus Debates. You can find The Great Jesus Debates at our website, issuesetc.org. It's right there on the homepage, or you can call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask them for the Issues, Etc. book of the month for November, The Great Jesus Debates by Dr. Douglas Johnson, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040.
Skunks, brilliantly designed by the Creator.
Answers with Ken Ham, one of the editors of the new Answers magazine. Well, Ken, what are some of the special features of the skunk?
Well, when you hear the word skunk, most people immediately think of odor. But skunks actually have many marvelous design features. In fact, they defy evolution. Skunks are nocturnal, meaning they're awake at night. They have exceptional eyes that allow them to see in the dark. Instead of light being absorbed by the retina like ours does, the skunk has a reflective layer that sends the light back through its light-sensitive cells. It makes it possible for skunks to see in nearly total darkness. But there's much more. Skunks have the ability to breed almost any time of year, but then delay the fertilized egg from implanting in the uterus for up to 200 days. This allows a skunk to wait until spring to give birth, and that's a time when food is plentiful and thus their chances for survival are greater. You know, there's no way that such obvious design features can be accounted for on the basis of random evolutionary processes over millions of years. It makes much more sense on the basis of what the Bible says, that in the beginning God created, and he created distinct kinds of animals and plants, and he created the skunk kind.
Some Christians like to compromise and squeeze millions of years into the six creation days of Genesis. Find out why that's not only bad theology, but even worse science, when you read Ken Ham's booklet on the 6 days of creation. It's free when you go to AnswersRadio.com.
Talk about a stunning reversal. In Luke chapter 4, verse 22, it says, "All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips." But by verse 28, it says, "All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this." Let's talk about Luke chapter 4 next time on the Bible Study with Pastor Tom Baker. The Bible Study, weekday mornings, 10:05.
The Bible Study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
On the next Midday Living Jubilee, live at 11:05 on AM 850 KFUO, join Paul Clayton and me, Diane Summers. We talk with Dr. Christopher Mitchell, Old Testament and CPH editor for the Concordia Commentary Series, on the latest release on the Book of Ruth. We'll also talk about getting fit during this Christmas season. Winning at weight loss, Sherry Torkos will be our guest on the next Living Jubilee, 11:05 on AM 850 KFUO.
Are you concerned about how messages from today's culture are influencing your teen's view of sexuality? If you are, then don't miss the next Focus on the Family, when Dr. James Dobson has a conversation with speaker, author, and teen expert Joe White about what's at stake. Hear how you can keep your child healthy and pure on the next Focus on the Family.
Weekdays at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to be talking with the author of the new book, The Gospel According to Dan Brown. Dan Brown, of course, being the author of The Da Vinci Code and then eventually a contributor to the film of the same name. We'll also be talking to Jennifer Roback Morse about the rise in unwed motherhood. In the old days, what would they call that? You'd say we have, we have more bastards hanging around, because in the old days, there was a term for illegitimate children, a term that has become derogatory. I dare say with 4 in every 10 children being born out of wedlock today, the stigma of illegitimacy, which should never attach to the children, for heaven's sakes, but the stigma of illegitimacy has entirely disappeared. If not completely disappeared, it's on its way out. Well, the news is out. We'll hear this story from National Public Radio and an interesting little interview with the leader of the Guttmacher Institute on trying to explain these numbers. And I want to hear from you, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Remember, we only got 10 minutes before the show is over. Let's listen to this NPR piece on unwed motherhood.
This week, the National Center for Health Statistics released a report showing that almost 4 in 10 babies in the United States last year were born to unwed mothers. That is the highest rate of out-of-wedlock births on record. Those births are up among all age groups except females 10 to 17 years old. Sharon Camp is president and CEO of the Guttmacher Institute. That's a nonprofit organization dedicated to reproductive health research, policy, and education. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure, Scott.
Now, out-of-wedlock births have reportedly been on the rise since the late 1990s. What's your analysis of this year?
These are long-term trends, and I don't think that the jump this year is out of the order of magnitude of prior years. Women are becoming sexually active around the age of 17. By the time they leave their teen years, almost all of them are sexually active. They may be living with someone, and they're not getting married until their late 20s. So that is going to result in more unplanned pregnancies to women who are not married.
Mm. So as far as you're concerned, this does indicate a rise in unplanned pregnancies as opposed to couples living together who decide that they want to begin a family but don't necessarily want the marriage part, at least first.
I would guess.
And, the Katie Holmes syndrome, if you please.
Yeah, right. Certainly there is more of that today than there's been in years past, but I think what these figures signal for the most part is an increase in unplanned pregnancies. And although that is very disturbing, it's not really surprising. The most recent data that we have actually shows a decline in contraceptive use, not among teens who are doing better, but among women in their 20s. And perhaps the result of that has been an increase, a 20% increase, in the number of unplanned pregnancies among poor women.
What's your analysis of why there's been a decrease in the number of women in the older age categories using contraceptives?
We don't know for sure, but certainly one factor has to be that funding for publicly supported contraceptive services has been flat or in many states declining. An increasing number of young women who are in the labor force but in low-paid jobs have no health insurance. That probably means they have no regular health care provider. And there's been an increasingly vocal campaign against contraception, which has probably led a lot of women to think of contraceptives as either unsafe or ineffective or both.
Let me ask you about older women in their 30s and 40s. The number of births is increasing in that category, right?
Right, because a lot of women have focused on their careers in their 20s and have delayed marriage and childbearing, or at least childbearing, until after 30.
So that category might have more planned pregnancies?
I would guess the majority of those are strongly wanted and very carefully planned pregnancies.
What's your general reaction at seeing these figures and the trend, while realizing that lots of gifted and wonderful people have been born to single mothers and have contributed greatly to this world? Is there something to be concerned about here?
Oh, I think there is. We know that women-headed households are among the poorest of the poor everywhere in the world. So if these are essentially unplanned pregnancies to lower-income women who are going to be the sole source of support for their children, and remember that many of these women may already have one or more children, then that's not good news for American families.
Sharon Camp, President and CEO of the Guttmacher Institute, thanks very much for being with us.
It's been my pleasure, Scott.
All right, if you care to react to this new study on the rise of unwed mothers, give us a call, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or email us here in the studio, issues, etc@kfuo.org. Well, look, the Guttmacher Institute, pro-life groups, as well as pro-choice groups, go to Guttmacher for their numbers, because, pro-life groups in particular, because they don't want to compile numbers that appear to be biased, so they go to the Guttmacher Institute for their basic statistics on what? On the thing that didn't get mentioned in all of this, in all of that interview, abortion. I don't know, but I'm curious whether or not the number of out-of-wedlock births among that category of 10 to 17, they said women 10 to 17. Since when is a 10-year-old a woman? Girls 10 to 17. Could it be that the ease of obtaining abortion without parental consent also contributes to the fact that those kids may be getting pregnant at the same rate, but not having the children at the same rate? Her concerns, the number of abortions is the one thing that's left out of that. It's left out of almost every count when it comes to infant mortality, when it comes to unwed births, when it comes to the whole issue of the number of women who are conceiving. We're only counting births for some reason. I don't know why, because there are, at least since 1973 in Roe v. Wade, 44 million abortions performed in this country, somewhere in the neighborhood between 3,500 and 4,000 a day. And you're not counting that as a factor in the issue of unwed motherhood? Her concerns are true concerns. Who loses when it's illegitimacy or women who feel free to forestall childbearing years and have abortions? Who loses? In every case, the children. We'll talk about that with Jennifer Roback Morse tomorrow on the program. We'll continue that discussion with Jennifer from the Acton Institute. Now, I have one couple at home. I got one in my office today. I was cleaning things up and I came across the latest I Have Issues T-shirt. For some reason, they're storing them in the closet in my office. I guess Jeff's closet has no room. What it is, it's the new Issues Etc. T-shirt. It says, I have issues on the front. On the back, it says, Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian, along with our website, issuesetc.org. The only way to get one, unless you want to break into my office and take one out of the closet, I wouldn't advise doing that, is by joining our Issues Etc. Reformation Club. We have a goal of 300 Reformation Club members by the end of this year. We currently have 245, so that's only 55 members we need to add between now and about a month from now in order to come to that 300 number by the end of 2006. It's our monthly or annual donor program. There are four levels now. There's the Confessor, Apologist, Reformer, and the newest level is called the Patron. You can find out about all the benefits of becoming a Confessor, Apologist, Reformer, or Patron, like tapes, books, transcripts, every month, by going to our website, issuesetc.org. And when you're there at our homepage tonight, you can also see a picture of the new I Have Issues T-shirt. Just one of the ways we thank you for becoming a member of our Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Now, you can join online by going to our website, issuesetc.org. All the details are there and a way to join. You can also join by check. Just write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. You can also join by credit card. We have a resource line number that's 24 hours, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. Consider becoming one of those 55 that will bring us up to 300 members of the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by the end of this year. It's the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Tomorrow on the program, The Gospel According to Dan Brown. There's a new book out on that. We'll talk with the author, and Jennifer Roback Morse will join us to sort out the numbers and the causes and the possible repercussions of a rise in unwed motherhood. And I want to ask her that question. Could it be that the number of abortions among those children, 10 to 17, might account for the falling number of unwed births there because the children are being aborted? We'll answer that question with Jennifer Roback Morse tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
Does man have a free will to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior, or is man's will bound in sin? Well, this isn't a new issue facing the Christian Church. It goes all the way back to an early church struggle between two men, Augustine and Pelagius. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November details how the early church dealt with false teachings. It's titled The Great Jesus Debates. It's published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
AM 850 KFUO Clayton, St. Louis now concludes its broadcast day. KFUO AM operates with a signal strength of 5,000 watts on a frequency of 850 kilohertz. Some of today's programs may have contained persons or opinions not in agreement with the management of this station, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
Join us tomorrow when AM 850 KFUO returns to the air. Have a pleasant night, and may the peace of the Lord be with you.